And we welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, the next-to-last edition of the regular season, but, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm your host, Daniel Shoftall, C70 at the Bat, at C70. With me, as always, Tara Wellman, Tara at Tara Wellman on Twitter, Birds on the Black, you know all this. The Cardinals are going to the postseason because the Cardinals swept the Cubs in Wrigley Field. And, I mean, just to be able to say that, a four-game sweep by the Cardinals, who had not won a single game in Wrigley Field all year long. I think I heard the end of the broadcast. It was the first time since 1921 that the Cardinals had swept a four-game series in Wrigley Field. I mean, that's... I mean, it's not as long as it took the Cardinals and the Cubs to win a World Series, but it's really close.
It's a long time.
I mean, and every game is one-run game. Every game is about as dramatic as you could get. This series could have swung so many different ways, but Tara, they won four games, and again, I'm really still trying to put our hands around it, but it's pretty amazing.
I don't know how to even react to this weekend, other than, obviously, as a Cardinals fan, I'm very excited about it. But in any way to try to wrap this weekend up in a way that makes any sense at all, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. All the twists, all the turns, all the ways that the Cardinals did things that they should not have been able to do this weekend. And the things that Joe Maddon and the Cubs threw at them that were maybe a little bit unexpected, maybe not the smartest, but things that typically work out for Joe Maddon and the Cubs. Mm-hmm. And for all of those things to fall in favor of the Cardinals this weekend, and I don't mean fall as in the Cardinals didn't earn those wins, because they absolutely did, but it was incredible, the things that happened and the ways that they put themselves in position to win each night, and the stress factor with which they were able to maybe bend but not break a couple of times. I mean, everything that you could possibly have hoped for out of a four-game set at Wrigley Field, essentially to decide the NL Central winner. I mean, it's insane. I still can't put any sort of words to it that mean anything at this point, because I'm still just trying to process how the Cardinals pulled it off.
Yeah. And I mean,
which is problematic since this is a podcast where we say a lot of words. I'll try to pull it together.
No, I imagine this is going to be a lot of, because trying to come up with words that explain this weekend are really impossible. I mean, you just had to watch the games or listen to the games or whatever you had to be there, and that really feels like that's what this was. And it was, I mean, you just saw how things built on each other. You know, the Cardinals, you know, for as great as this weekend was, it could have gone downhill in a hurry. I mean, Thursday night, the Cardinals are up 3 runs in the 9th inning of a Jack Flaherty start, and the Cubs score 3 runs, and I think a lot of people were starting to, you know, check the sky just to make sure it wasn't falling. And then, you know, then Matt Carpenter comes out and hits a home run, and everybody's happy again. You know, they get to Kimbrel yesterday with 2 home runs, are just remarkable. And those things mean that Kimbrel doesn't pitch today in the 9th, and they're able to come back on Darvish. It was almost like, well, I got to, for Cubs fans, it had to be, what can we do? Because, you know, you throw Kimbrel and they beat them. If you don't throw Kimbrel, they come back on the starter. I mean, it had to be frustrating for Milwaukee fans. As much as frustration as we had watching them continue to beat up on the Pirates, they had to be a little bit frustrated and it's not seeing the Cardinals lose. But I don't know how a Cub fan survived this weekend, honestly.
I have no idea. I was actually thinking after the game concluded on Sunday afternoon, man, can you imagine just the sucker punch had that been reversed? Had the Cardinals mm-hmm. gone into Wrigley and got swept again and watched their division lead vanish and see their postseason hopes? I mean, it just, that's such a sucker punch. There's no other way to say it. I mean, it'll just take every bit of wind out of the sails. And, you know, I almost feel bad for Kimbrel with his new team finally getting a chance to pitch, and then that being the way that he'll be remembered as a Cub. And, you know, for Cubs fans who've been there along for this whole ride and have watched things be so difficult this season. But then, you know, I remember that it's been difficult for Cardinals fans the last few years as well, so I stopped feeling too bad pretty quickly. But you're right, to see the things that they threw out there. I mean, it felt pretty desperate all weekend for the Cubs as far as the moves that they made, whether it was deciding to let Anthony Rizzo play on a clearly compromised ankle, or just choosing to let Javi Baez and his broken thumb be the last at-bat of the game on Saturday, or you know, just one thing after the next. It was like, wow, they're so desperate for something to work, for something to break in their favor. And it felt like, for the first time in a long time, the opposite was true about the Cardinals. I said to someone the other day, I haven't felt like this Cardinals team was particularly special all year. This weekend was special.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right. Now, we have to give a tip of the cap, I think, to some degree. You know, the idea of using Anthony Rizzo on a bad ankle was, you're right, felt like a desperation move. He hit 500 for the series, 7 for 14 on a bad ankle. I don't want to see him healthy. You know, his home run in the first game, you know, I know the Cardinals were able to exploit his defense a little bit, not as much as you might have hoped. That paid off for the Cubs. Now, Javi Baez, I don't know the last time I've seen something that desperate. I kind of racked my brain to thinking some of the things that, you know, the Cardinals might have done over the last few years when they're trying to do something, and I really can't think of what it would be. You know, maybe you go back to the, you know, when they, Tony La Russa had to manage Mark McGwire, you know, where he could only get him like one at bat a game. But even that felt more strategic than desperate to run Javi Baez out there with, you know, half a hand and all that. Joe Maddon, I think felt the pressure this weekend, whether he would like to admit it or not. And I think, I don't really want to bring it up because it feels like we're still bashing, but there's a difference between the managerial styles that would have happened before. Joe Maddon was never intimidated by Mike Matheny, and I'm not saying he was intimidated by Mike Shildt, but there's a definite different relationship between what Mike Shildt's going to do in these ball games and what Mike Matheny would have done.
Well, and I think there's a difference in how the team is playing in September this time around. There's also that. But I do want to point out, people keep talking, and this has nothing to do with you. I was going to bring this up anyway. people keep talking about what a great series Anthony Rizzo had. And I just want to point out, he scored one run, drove one run in, only on the home run. So yeah, he hit, but he couldn't run. So it's not like, once he got on base, he was a liability, not an asset. He didn't drive in runs. He couldn't run the bases. And it was mind-boggling to me that they would continue to keep him out there in such a compromised position and when it wasn't helping them. It just is insane to me that was the best thing that they could put on the field. That's why, to me, it felt desperate. It also felt a little bit reckless, because if you really think that you're in a position to make the postseason and put him back on the field, man, he slid into second base the other day, and I thought for sure that he was done. Yeah. So, yes, he hit a home run in the first game back, and it was great, and everyone loved it. That's the only run he scored, and it's also the only run that he drove in over the weekend. So I just don't know how you weigh the value of that. Now, I'm sure there's some like psychological edge to know that Anthony Rizzo's on the field, and he's your guy, and whatever. But there's a limit to how effective he was, even though, yes, he picked up some hits. It still wasn't helping the team score.
Well, and that's where it boils down to less Anthony Rizzo and more Joe Maddon, because if you've got Anthony Rizzo with an ankle, with the fact that he's not going to be able to run, if you think he could hit, you bat him third, you bat him fourth, and get people on in front of him. Instead, he's leading off the game or hitting out behind the pitcher if it's rolled over. And there's not much you can do there, because now it's going to take three hits to drive him in, because he's not going to go too many extra bases. So, yeah, that part didn't make a lot of sense. Anthony Rizzo has always been one of those guys that tends to beat up on the Cardinals, it feels like. And it's just, I mean, I guess, like you said, it was only two extra base hits in this whole thing. But, man, it still felt like you could never get him out. Which, again, if he wants to hit 500 in the Cardinals sweep, that's fine. We'll take that. It was just a little bit interesting to see him have, like I said, have that kind of series with the compromised ankle. Now, whether the ankle is not quite as bad as maybe we thought or anything, and that it obviously affected him. And like you said, when he slid into second that one, I really thought they'd be walking him off the field. And a little bit of Cubs luck. That's the only Cubs luck they had all weekend, so I guess maybe that's okay. You're right about Cade Krimble, though. I mean, that's what the Cardinals have him there for. I mean, not the Cardinals. Well, that is what the Cardinals had him there for, to blow the games. That's why the Cubs signed him, is to save games in this situation. Is it all... I don't want to... Never mind. I don't want to get into Cade Krimble. I just want to talk about the fact that Yadi and Paul DeJong hit home runs. And that... What was out of all the four games? This is the hard decision, hard choice. What was the most improbable thing that you saw that won ball games out of the sweep?
Oh,
yeah.
I do feel like it has to be the back-to-back home runs, just because that's not a thing. I mean, that's a rarity in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But then to do it after the back and forth that had gone on already, and to I mean, it kind of felt like that game was going to be a bonus anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they get down and they come back and then they get down. And to come back and tie it is one thing, to then take the lead on the very next pitch. I mean, it was such a shock, I think, to the Cubs as much as anything, that all of a sudden, all that they had done to put themselves in a position to win that game, two pitches later all the things that happened this weekend were crazy. I think the comeback Sunday's game against Darvish was pretty improbable based on how he had pitched to that point. But, man, the back-to-back homers off of Kimbrel probably takes the cake for me.
It probably does. I would my vote for... The reason I would maybe give a vote for Sunday is the fact you've got the three wins. You've gotten the series win, and you get to the ninth inning, it's like, man, you know, we did all we could. We've had a great, successful series. You know, it's just one of those situations where they happen to get that extra run, and, you know, that just kind of feels like, you know, you don't win four in a row. So to come back in a situation where, they'd only had two or three hits all day long, in a situation where it would have been very easy just to say, okay, we're good. You know, even if we lose, we got a two-game lead on Milwaukee. And, you know, well, you tweeted out the odds this morning, I believe, that they were at, you know, 99% to make the playoffs and 96% to win the division. You know, it's like, they're not harder odds, but hey, look, we've done it. You can't ask for another one of these kind of comebacks. And yet they did. They put it together, and it was Jose Martinez, who has looked terrible forever, hitting a ball that I don't know if it should have been caught or not. I guess it depends on your point of view, but it wasn't, and he wound up on third base, and then things went from there. So, it's just remarkable. It's remarkable to see this, and it really was a team effort. Nobody just had this outstanding series. I mean, Paul DeJong had a couple of home runs, and there's good moments here and there, but nobody hit 500 for the Cardinals. Nobody hit four or five home runs in the series and just dominated like Matt Carpenter did last year. This was a team effort. I mean, they picked up Daniel Hudson, Dakota Hudson, for when he struggled in the game on Saturday, but the pitching staff was good. Carlos Martinez pitched till his arm fell off, and this was probably the definition of a team victory all the way around.
And I'm not just saying this because it's Cole Wong, but not to be undersold is the loss of Colton Wong in this series right away. I mean, that could have been huge in this series, and the ability he has shown to kind of jumpstart the offense on occasion, or at least to be part of that tag team at the top of the order, and to be, in many cases, the at least second half MVP for this team offensively. To lose him at the start of the series, I mean, it could have gone south very quickly. Not that there isn't a lot to be confident in with Tommy Edman. You know, Matt Carpenter maybe just needed to not make things worse as opposed to making things better. Although I did call the Matt Carpenter home run. That one's for me. That's for me, reminding everyone. But, you know, for Colton to be out for the entire series, it felt like a huge blow at the time. And it still is. But to see the rest of the team just pick it up and be able to, you know, claw their way back into some of these games and pick up the run where they needed it, that was nice to see, because too many times this year when the guy that's hot stops being hot, they can't seem to win. So to be able to continue that consistency without Colton Wong, I mean, they need him going forward down the stretch or in the postseason, but it was nice to see them, you know, not, I don't know, not make that more of an issue than it was for this four-game set, and find other guys to step up.
Well, and the great thing, I mean, one of the great things out of a four-game sweep, and the fact that you still have this three-game lead on Milwaukee, you don't have to rush Colton Wong back. You don't have to pinch hit even in the bottom of the ninth with the game on the line. I mean, you don't have to send him out there hoping he'll spark the team, and he can take his time healing up. And not that they're not going to miss him, not that they're not better with him out there, but it's that idea that he can be hopefully fully ready for the playoffs when it really matters. You know, I think that's a bit of it, because if they were a one game lead or tied, I think there would be a whole lot of pushing, both on the team's part and on Colton's part, to get out there. In fact, even we hear that today, right? He was talking of a couple days, like yesterday or something, about, you know, he's about almost ready. It wasn't as bad as he thought. And then today it's like, well, you know, I may not even go to Arizona. I may just, you know, hang out at home. And I think that's the difference in winning a ball game and keeping that lead, because otherwise I think there's no way you keep Colton Wong off the field.
Yeah. And I mean, to his credit, he was going to try to play through it. But I think, to Mike Schilt's credit, he's not in any rush to make that move. Mm-hmm. Not that it's a direct comparison to the Anthony Rizzo thing, but one just kind of feels like desperation and the other feels like confidence. And that's sort of the difference in these two teams right now.
It's remarkable. And it is really going to be different for us. I mean, we've had the Brewers on the periphery for a while, but we've always been focused on the Cubs since the Cardinals took the lead in the division. It's always been this focus on these seven games and what are the Cubs going to do and how does... Honestly, this week we have to change focus, because the Cubs really don't matter anymore. I mean, not that they can't throw a wrench into things at the end of the week, at the end of the month, but they really don't matter now, and that's a strange place for us to be in, where we have to really focus on what the Brewers are doing against the Reds in Colorado and not really worry about the fact that the Cubs are playing the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, last week we were talking about, man, if they can just split this four-game set and then win the series at the end of the month to close out the regular season, we'll feel pretty good about it, and then sort of let the chips fall where they may. Now, all of a sudden, man, talk about controlling your own destiny. They really made the most of that opportunity this weekend, but all of a sudden, you're right. As much as it's crazy to maybe be a Brewers fan and think, wow, okay, you just, you know, sweep the Pirates and don't gain any ground on the Cardinals, it's also similarly frustrating to think, man, as the Cardinals, you just swept the Cubs at Wrigley in four games and still have work to do.
Right.
You know, it's still, I mean, you slayed that dragon only to turn around and realize, oh, there's still one more. Mm-hmm. And the Brewers don't seem to be slowing down at all. Now, it is, I mean, the Pirates aren't exactly competition these days, so it's hard to maybe be too worried about the Brewers winning out at this point. Not that the Reds and the Rockies are the highest of competition right now, but we knew that, right? We knew that 3 weeks ago, that the last 2 weeks for the Brewers were pretty easy compared to what the Cardinals were going to be facing. And that's just the way things go. And you know, you have to be able to, you have to be able to win the games you should win. And that's what the Brewers are doing right now. So, man, credit to them for not rolling over when they lost Christian Yelich. Even, you know, Lorenzo Cain in a down year, and the pitching sort of revolving door that has been the story for them this year, they're still holding it together somehow, finding a way. So it's going to be an interesting week in a different way than we expected it to be, because, you know, I think all season since the schedule came out, really, we've seen, okay, 7 of the last 10 are between the Cubs and the Cardinals, and figured that would be the story. Mm-hmm. And it is, but for the Brewers, not for the Cubs, which is not sort of the subtitle that I think we all saw as the season winds down.
No. Like I say, the Pirates are not exactly competition. Going into today, they had an 8-game losing streak that they averaged giving up more than 10 runs a game. You know, Pittsburgh only let them score 4 today, so I guess that's something for Pirates fans. Maybe they're, you know, trending upwards. That's got to be tough. I mean, I can't imagine being a Pirates fan over the last, well, 2 months, really. I mean, they were kind of hanging around there at the All-Star break, and it just nosedived. It's very interesting. It's, you know, as we watch these other teams, and again, we're not focused on them, but we've seen, especially in the second half, we've seen a lot of these teams a lot. The Reds, the Brewers, the Cubs now, and the Pirates. It's just really interesting to see how fortunes have changed over the last 2 months in ways that I don't think anybody would have expected. I don't think there's a team in the Central's, maybe the Reds, that has been, you know, fairly consistent one way or another since the All-Star break.
Yeah, you know, it's such a wild thing to look at this Cardinals team. You talk about how much things have changed. Man, do we remember what happened in May? Let's not revisit that very long. But it's so interesting when you look at the course of a 162-game season, how many kind of blips on the radar will eventually seem insignificant when at the moment they seem like the make-or-break moment of the year. I feel like there were so many of those moments for the Cardinals this year where repeatedly Mike Schilt, as a manager will, said something to the effect of, guys, it's a long season, calm down. And people don't take kindly to that, of course, but he was able to make some magic here in September, and not that he was the one out there on the field taking good at bats or you know, throwing, well, the occasional strike as it went this weekend. But he's pulling the strings, and I think I've said this the last couple of weeks, and I will continue to say it, because I really think he deserves a lot of credit in the way that he took this team from what we saw in April that was so great to what we saw in May that was so bad, and kind of found a way to kind of create a new path through the rest of the season, and maybe build a little more slowly than we all would have liked to see. But they're back in the postseason, and they've done it with an interesting and at times unlikely collection of heroes, and they've done it without a guy that, you know, is just the absolute face of the organization based on his performance on the field this year. And you know, someone coming into this series with the Cubs said something to me about how it feels like this is a Cardinals team that should be 8 games behind the Cubs. And I said, well, why? And they responded with basically the fact that there's no superstar. There's nobody that is, you know, just carrying this team on their back. And I actually think that's where Mike Schilt deserves the most credit, because it's not one guy. It's not Paul Goldschmidt being the MVP caliber player and everyone else just kind of hanging on to his coattails. It's everyone stepping in some, like I said, some of the most unlikely scenarios and turning up for each other when it matters. I mean, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it and say that it's been this magical season all the way through, but what they've done in the last couple of months is really special. And that's, I feel like that's hard to do, right? To come from this huge letdown in the second month of the season, kind of middle around 500 for a while, and then charge late. It's hard to kind of find that space. And the fact that they've done it, I mean, it's, and that they did it in such dramatic fashion this weekend. I mean, it's impressive, and it's something that I think it really does deserve to be celebrated, even if they feel like there's still work to be done. And even if, you know, whatever happens in the next week, it's an impressive ride.
Yeah. And you're right. There hasn't been that one guy that's carried the ball, but if there was, you know, if Jack Flaherty could pitch more than once, you know, every 5 days, then he would have been that guy. I think that his turnaround has, you know, for, you know, again, as much as a starting pitcher can, has seemed to vitalize his team as well. And the fact that he's going more like 7 or 8 innings instead of 4 or 5, has had that, you know, trickle down effect as well. But yeah, it's remarkable, and it's we'll see if it gets Mike Shields some hardware at the end of the year. I kind of doubt it, but I think he'll probably be in the mix there. He'll probably be in those top three. But you know, a series like this with everybody watching, and that's one of the good things about, you know, from Mike Shields' point of view, I guess, if you're looking for awards, everything else is pretty much settled. It was just this race, and this weekend was kind of the focus of baseball, I think, to some degree. And, you know, his team came out and showed not resiliency and ability to win in multiple ways. And, you know, that may have gotten him a few votes here and there. We'll have to find out later on. But, and, you know, it's a minor thing. I know that Mike Shields hasn't even, wouldn't admit to giving any thought to it, and probably hasn't given any thought to it. But I think it's always nice to see the Cardinals in the mix for some of these awards. Even if they don't win it, I think it gives a little bit of idea that, you know, we understand how good of a job Mike Shields has done. We understand how good Jack Flaherty has been and things like that. It's just kind of nice when there's some national validation, I think, of what we're seeing as well.
Oh, certainly. I mean, you're talking to me, the Colton Long person. It would be nice for there to be some national recognition of what would have known all along. No, but it's true. Those things mean less than a championship would mean. They mean less than a division title would mean. But it is nice, just sort of in the grand scheme of things, to know that baseball as a whole recognizes the work that's been put in, and the talent and the ability and the drive that goes into making a run like this possible. And, you know, that's a bit of a trickle down, right? When the guys on the field are executing, it makes the manager look good, and vice versa. I will say it is interesting, as much as we have harped on what the front office has or has not done, particularly this season, mm-hmm. Here they are in the postseason for the first time since 2015. So that's a whole other conversation that we'll have plenty of time to talk about later. But it is interesting to see that, you know, the angst at the trade deadline, myself included, feeling like, man, I cannot believe they're not going to try to help this team get to the postseason after they, you know, claimed the division lead. Well, now all of a sudden they did it anyway. So that is a testament to the players on the field and the manager as well.
This is true. That being said, Tyler O'Neill has 7 at bats in September.
Can't trade him.
It feels like maybe this could have been a little easier with the fifth starter of Zach Wheeler's caliber. Now that's again, and that's really where Mike Shields has come down. As you're saying, you know, when you can run Michael Walker out there and get the best you can out of him and not ask for any more, in fact, leave some in the tank probably, but not push him to the level and go to the bullpen when you need to, you know, that has helped as well. There's a lot of decisions that Mike Shields has made that have had major impacts on this team, whether it's, you know, how he's treated the pitching staff or the emphasis on base running and defense and, you know, more shifting and things of that nature. We're seeing the full year of it, and it's been fun. It's been great to, I mean, it's had its ups and downs, obviously. But the important thing is that it's up at the right time. So I don't think anybody's going to argue. You may not like the way the path has been, but I think we're really happy with the destination. So, anything else? I mean, this, you know, again, this weekend was just insane. It's going to, I got to feel like it's going to be hard to avoid a little bit of a letdown tomorrow night in Arizona, just because it's not the Cubs. It's, you've done the heavy lifting to some degree. You've gotten a playoff berth clinched. You'd much rather it to be the division, but you do have a playoff berth in your back pocket. Man, it's got to be tough to just, to then come back and try to come up at that level against a team that is good, but has kind of hit their own skids lately.
Well, I think you're right, and I was actually just about to say the same thing. That's going to feel like a little bit of a letdown when there's not, doesn't feel like there's quite as much on the line, or at least not at your long-standing rival's place. But I think the muted at best celebration today by the team is a pretty good indication of where their heads are going to be. And while, you know, I think there's inevitably some difference in the high of this weekend to getting back to work on Monday, I think that one thing Mike Schilt has shown himself quite adept at is getting this team in the right headspace. And that's really, man, that's got to be like a huge percentage of what a good manager does, right? It's not, I mean, there's X's and O's on the field, but if your team's not in the right headspace, you know, if their focus isn't all in, if they feel like they can let down after claiming a wild card spot, then you know, you're going to struggle to have any of those right strategy moves matter. So I feel like this is a thing that he's shown himself pretty good at accomplishing. Now, if they lose the first game in Arizona, I won't be surprised by that.
Right.
But I think that to expect, you know, some dramatic letdown at this point would really be ignoring what we've seen from this team in the last 2 months, and their ability to kind of find that level-headed place, even with all of the excitement coming down the stretch. So the reactions today, I think, were as expected, kind of the, yeah, it's cool, but we're not done yet kind of thing. But I feel like they really do mean that. they're not just satisfied with a spot in the postseason as a wild card team at worst. And especially with the Brewers so close on their heels, they don't really have the chance to let down too much until that race is over. So maybe that pressure from behind will kind of keep the energy level high as they go into Arizona this week as well.
Hopefully so. The good thing is the Cardinals are 40-38 away from Busch Stadium. The Brewers, if you're interested, 37-38 away from Miller Park, which is where they will be for the next 6 days in Cincinnati and in Colorado, and facing, well, better competition than Pittsburgh was. There's no doubt about that. It's remarkable. Like you said, the Cardinals are probably not going to end the season with an 11-game winning streak. They're probably going to lose once or twice this week somewhere along the way. They just have to make sure that they're able to contain that. And, you know, it would be nice to win tomorrow, especially when Milwaukee's not playing. But, you know, you take what you get, and if it doesn't work out, you come back the next day. And I think that, like you said, that's the resiliency that we've seen out of this team, is they're not going to let even a tough loss come back and really bite them. They see the finish line, and they're going to try to push through it. So look forward to that.
It's also going to be really hard for the Brewers to finish on a whatever kind of winning streak that they're on. Yeah. So, like, the Cardinals are still in a really good spot, regardless of how close the Brewers are or the fact that they keep winning. I think the tendency is to think, oh, they're just three games behind. They're still just three games behind after all of that. But the path for them to do anything as far as the division is concerned is actually really, really tough. For them to continue to win and the Cardinals to lose some really critical games. So it's still a race. Let's not underestimate that. But I think that there is a little bit of room, at least for a couple of days, to take a breath and expect that, you know, the Cardinals really do have, what, 98% odds of winning the division or whatever it is right at this point. I'll tweet it in the morning so you'll know.
There you go.
And the Brewers have to do something really, really extraordinary to change that.
Right. And you know, of course, Cardinal fans get a little worried because we've seen the Cardinals do really extraordinary things like that. So it has happened. But, you know, you think about it a lot of times in the middle of the season and you say, hey, a team is 5 or 6 games back and they just need to cut off a game a week. Well, that's still tough to do. I mean, to cut off a game a week can be difficult, especially in the ups and downs. You may gain 2 here and there, and then you lose 1 somewhere along the way. The Brewers have to cut 3 games off in 6 days, 7 days, really, with the off days. Like you say, it's not impossible. It's not. We're not saying that you can, you know, guarantee that divisional championship just yet, but it's really, really, really close. And while it may not feel like it at times, you know, every win is the Cardinals' friend, and the calendar works for them. You know, it doesn't really matter what the Brewers do as long as the Cardinals can continue to do. You know, if the Cardinals get 4 wins this week, you know, if they win 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks and 2 out of 3 against the Cubs, doesn't matter if the Milwaukee winds up with that 10-game winning streak to end the season. Cardinals are still division champions. So it's going to be a fun week. And it's a lot more fun to be on this end of the chasing than it is on the other side.
Yes.
All right. Well, Tara and I will be back with you next week talking about that final week and looking forward to whatever the postseason holds. And hopefully it's a matchup with the Braves in the first round of the LDS. But we will see. So until then, that is Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.